This hour of Cairo Nights is brought to you by kpbilliards.com.
Broadcasting live from the Carter Subaru Studios, you're listening to Cairo Nights. Happy Tuesday, y'all. Really appreciate you guys listening to the show. The Online Trading Academy text line, it is 98973. Now, usually, we bring my good friend, Stacy Joe, in at about 9:30. However, there is just way too much Seahawks talk going on. The fact that they are 8-5, the fact that they won on Monday night, the fact that Russell Wilson had one of his worst games ever. However, I still think Russell Wilson played one of the best games ever. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that here during this segment. But my good buddy's here, and it always sounds just like this.
Stacey's on, turn up the microphone. She's talking sports, so you're about to learn a ton. At 9:33, she comes in to talk with G. And you know from this song that now the time when Stacey's on.
Stacey Joe.
G. Scott.
What's happening?
Man, what a game.
What a game. I had to call you in early. I mean, right now, I'm going to start with this.
Okay.
The Seattle Seahawks are 8-5.
Mm-hmm.
They are 8-5 with three games left to play. Two of their three games are at home. Two of their three games are against the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals, who aren't that good. The toughest game that they're going to have, that one's going to be December 23rd, is going to be at home against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
Nobody, and when I say nobody, nobody thought that it would happen like this when you consider that the Legion of Boom is gone, when you consider Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Cliff Averill, Mike Bennett, all of them are gone. Doug Baldwin has been...
New coaches.
Doug Baldwin is hurting. KJ Wright has been out.
And the rest of the NFC West, how often when we met in August to record, did we say, well, it's going to be really tough because you think even if they get nine wins, they're going against the 49ers, the Rams, the Cardinals might have something in Josh Rosen. I mean, everything was the story of how dominant is the rest of the NFC going to be.
Yes, so many things to talk about. And so we're going to try to talk about as much as we can during this 9 o'clock hour. All right, let's start off with what stood out to you in last night's Monday night game. Give us something that stood out to you outside of the win.
Okay, well, I mean, everyone, I think for most people, their biggest takeaway is that this was the best performance collectively for the defense as a whole. So Bobby Wagner had one of his best career games last week against the 49ers, and I would say that it was a good performance by the defense, but it's still, they had a third-string quarterback that threw for 400 yards. This week, they held a top 10 offense, top 10 passing offense in the league. They held them to, I think Kirk Cousins was limited to 2-something yards, his lowest completion percentage this season. And they kept them out of the end zone through 3.5 quarters. So, I mean, this was just collectively across the board, linebackers, the secondary, which is a young secondary with those two cornerbacks, the front seven as a whole with their pass rush, everything was working right for Seattle's defense. The offense was up and down, passing game really struggled to get going, but collectively the defense, all units were really working together.
Well, here's something that Frank Clark was talking about on tackling by the corners. Here's Frank Clark right here.
Hey, that's the one thing we pride ourselves in, playing solid defense all around. Our corners got to be great tacklers, linebackers got to be great tacklers, and the defensive line got to be great tacklers. And at the end of the day, our corners get their job. Like I said, it wasn't nothing extra, just them being, there when they been in the position they need to be in to make the play.
The reason why I play that cut right there is because one of the things that I talked about, we talked about it before, we talked about missed tackles, right? That the Seahawks had to limit missed tackles in this game because we know that their top two receivers, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, they rank in the top 20 amongst wide receivers in yards after the catch. And that would be tough, and the Seahawks would have to tackle. Stacey Joe, the Seahawks tackled very well last night.
They did. No, they were on top of it, and it helped that for some reason the Vikings weren't really targeting Adam Thielen. They managed to double team both receivers and were still able to have a really effective pass rush. I mean, everything they could have done right, they did.
Some more on this is from Pete Carroll, and I want to talk to you about something because I put a tweet out today. I put a Facebook post out. I'm not going to say their names. I talked to some guys on the defense today, and the conversation was interesting. And the conversation kind of went like this: every time the Seahawks right now are 8-5. They're doing these great things. I just talked about how the Legion of Boom is no longer there. Mike Bennett's not there. Cliff Averill's not there. KJ Wright has kind of been out a little bit. All of these things have happened. However, the one name that you just don't hear about, you can look up Facebook, you can look up, turn on social media right now. You will not hear somebody talk about, man, Ken Norton Jr.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Nobody talks about the defensive coordinator at all.
No, absolutely. And I do think it's really interesting and important to note that impact when you also consider that Bobby Wagner has been such a leader on this defense, having one of his best seasons, and he has a really close relationship with Norton, was really excited to have him back. That's been an important relationship for both of them, and I'm sure has factored into the performance.
Here's Pete Carroll talking about his communication with Ken Norton Jr.
I do think that you see benefits of Kenny and I communicating. You see us working together on our stuff, and he's been awesome to work with. There's somewhat of a sales job, you know, when you're doing new things. You know, guys got to understand it, and they got to figure it out. Kenny's got great savvy and instincts about it, and he's really helped us, you know, open up the playbook.
He also talks about how the entire defensive staff has been involved this year, talking about a D-line coach. You and I have gave love to Clint Hurt, who is the D-line coach for the Seahawks. Here's that.
It's been so easy to make sense to drawing on our past, you know, and all of the things that we've done for so many years, and bring things back to the, you know, to the front. And Kenny's done a marvelous job of selling it and coming up with the ideas and including the staff's ideas. And everybody's really contributing in a big way. Clint Hurt does a magnificent job. Andre and Johnny Glenn, those guys just do great stuff. And Nick, they're all adding to it. And everybody feels a part of it. And that's always a good chemistry.
When you hear that, what do you think, Stacey Joe?
I think that it sounds like Carroll's plan this offseason to streamline both sides of the ball, streamline communication and coaching on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest critique thrown his way was, well, he's just getting guys that are going to be not yes men, but that are going to agree with him and kind of let him coach. But the thing is that he's also picking people that he has a history with and that he, I'm sure, agrees with on fundamental things. So that also has the benefit of making sure that whatever message you're sending to your players, they're hearing it from all sides.
Joined here by Stacey Joe. Oh, Stacey Ross is a real name. You can follow her on Twitter at Stacey Ross. And of course, she writes over there with 710 Sports. Really always grateful to have her on with me here on Cairo Nights. And Russell Wilson. I was up in the control room at the Seahawks stadium, and a stat had come up, and he was at like 62 yards passing and was almost through 3 to 4 quarters. Mm-hmm. I think he only ended the game with 70-something yards.
Yeah, he had his lowest ever in his career.
And so we're sitting there talking, and they're like, oh man, Russ only has 60-something yards rushing. And it was the first time that I found myself saying, you know what? I'm glad. And here's what I was glad about. Because I felt like in that game, Russell was taking what he was giving. He was not, now, even though he had a very sloppy interception that could have been a pick six at the end of the first half. Yeah. However, he wasn't going to jeopardize his team for any type of stats, I felt like, in his game. And so I'm sitting here in the control room having a conversation. Then we're into the fourth quarter, and I'm talking about how I respect what Russ is doing. He's not going to try to take any shots because his thing is this. He knows my defense is playing well. All I have to do is go out here. We're at home. Keep the game close. Don't turn the ball over. So that kept happening. I'm like, man, I'm good. And then what happens? Boom. 40-yard run.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? Is that it's as much as you can say, you know, the defense had to play well to help out the offense, and Russell Wilson had one of his worst games as a pro. he also ultimately put the offense in a key position to just close out and win the game. Right? Like, that was Chris Carson's touchdown capped that drive that he had where he shot down the sideline for 40 yards. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think, what makes a franchise quarterback is that even on his one of his worst days, he can still come up with a big play.
Right. One of the things also that stood out in that game, the offensive line. And I don't, well, I know this because I was kind of with some of the offensive linemen earlier today and watching a little bit of stuff. They were impressive. I mean, every 3 yards here, 5 yards here, yep. 8 yards here. And what was happening is they were rolling, and something unfortunate would happen. But the offensive line was great. But one of the things, funnies that I want to talk about is the Jermaine Ifedi thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
I forgot about this, but I'm glad you mentioned it.
So the Jermaine Ifedi, personal foul, yep. Referees like number 65, and then everybody's like going crazy. People took to Twitter. He's terrible. Yeah. Penalties. It wasn't even him.
No, and you know what's crazy? It was ultimately they officially moved that penalty to Jordan Simmons, who's filling in for DJ Fluker at right guard. Simmons pushed back at someone who pushed him after a play was blown dead.
Right.
So, but you know what sucks is that I think what happens is, like, when a second guy gets called, it's because guys start yelling and the refs turn and they see that guy and they're like, we're going to flag you. But I don't think Simmons pushed first. I mean, it looked like someone pushed Simmons. And so, and then Jermaine Ifedi gets in there and he's trying to break it up. And this is someone who's the most penalized player in the league last year,
yeah.
Trying to break this up, yeah. And then gets called. And he's like, what am I doing?
So I'm talking to Jermaine today. And Jermaine, if you're listening right now, you did give me permission to say that okay. I can tell this story. So he's like, man, G, he's like, can you believe that? They just gave me the penalty. I'm like, man, I said, and you were kind of over there talking to Danielle Hunter. He said, exactly, bro. You know what I was talking to him. It was after the play. And I was like, yo, bro, we Facebook friends. And I noticed that you spelling your first name different. You spell it different. And he was explaining to him why he spells his name a certain way. They're talking
ever.
About Facebook.
Right.
And then he hears the commotion. So he like, hey. And then he all of a sudden he hears number 65. He said, gee, I'm talking about Facebook and somebody's first name because he's my friend on Facebook. And I'm getting personal.
Like, files. Literally, it could not. The only way it could have been worse is if he was like, you watch British Baking Show, man? That show is phenomenal. It's amazing. I think Rosie's going to win it all.
Oh,
no, it was that. That was something. I still don't think they got it right. The referees, just in general, was not a great game for officiating.
Talk to Bobby. Today, and Bobby's like, he's like, gee, you ever heard of that call before? I said, no. And this was a play.
The helmet one?
The open.
Yeah.
The grabbing of the open area of the helmet.
Yeah, so not a face mask.
Not a face mask. The grabbing of the open area of the helmet. And then Bobby's like, but gee, I did get away with a face mask the next play.
He did. No, we all noticed that. We were like, there were a couple calls on both sides, but that was one where I was really shocked he didn't get called. And my conspiracy theory is that the refs were like, oh, we kind of owe him one.
Yes. So they end up winning the game. Another piece of news that happened from the game, DeFilippo. DeFilippo, yeah. Offensive coordinator. Here's what's interesting. Did you know, I was watching a broadcast of it, and earlier in the game, they were talking about, oh, this new rising star offensive coordinator. Oh, he's so great, and he's going to be doing this. He's brought in to help Cousins and turn that offense around and keep it going to the future.
Yeah.
13 games in, and the Minnesota Vikings fired him.
And I think he's incredibly talented. I think that from what I'm hearing, and I think what the storyline was going into the game was the
ranked
Vikings.
30th.
Exactly.
Ranked 30th.
The Vikings were ranked 30th in the run game,
yeah.
Despite having good backs, and that there was pressure on him to then call more running plays. And then you get into a game where you aren't targeting your two best weapons on offense are Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. I know that they're both double teamed, but they didn't. When George Fant got his reception, he had more targets and yards than Adam Thielen did at that point in the game.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal. Props to George Fant, by the way. That might have been one of the loudest cheers of the night.
I said, George, what were you thinking? He was like, well, man, first of all, I knew I was good.
He thought he was going to score.
He said, yeah, I thought I was good. He said, but then as soon as I started running, I started losing my footing. He said, now, I was like, okay, I'm about to fall. He said, I had the ball out. And I said, I made sure I tucked it. And then I was going to fall. He said, right when I fell, all he kept thinking was, man, my partner's back at the crib about to talk bad about me.
So I was in the locker room with Lydia, and Jen Mueller was standing next to us. Right. There's this like huddle of reporters around George Fant. And Jen's like, how soon did it take you to hear from your teammates about the turf monster? Because that's what he was saying. Like, you know, the turf monster gets you when you fall or whatever. He's like, the minute I got to the sideline. They were all cheering and all excited. And then the minute he gets to the sideline, it's like, hey. Yeah, it didn't take long.
It was an amazing night at Century League Field. I think it's just, I mean, we all know if you're listening right now, Tuesdays are always amazing when your NFL football team is winning. They're 8-5.
Yeah.
They're in the driver's seat for the playoffs. I think it's like 98.
I think they can clinch it next week.
Yeah, they can. They can clinch it with a win traveling down to San Fran. But the fact that right now, good news is, I would have never thought the Seahawks would be 8-5.
No.
They're 8-5 rolling with the potential of clinching the playoffs.
Here's the thing, and I'll call myself out. At the beginning of the season, I guessed just kind of 8-8 missing the playoffs because I assumed that.
And 8-8 would have been awesome season.
Yes, I thought I was being like optimistic and I would be like made fun of or caught. And I assumed missing the playoffs with 8-8. Because I assumed that the Vikings would be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I assumed that the 49ers would give them stiff competition and you'd struggle with that divisional record. So that into account, they've got 8 wins right now. They could still finish 8-8, but I would say that's two totally different seasons. Don't you think?
Yes.
Like the 8-8 that I predicted at the beginning of the season, they could end with the same record. Granted, it would have to be it's not likely. They're going to end with 9 or 10 wins. But they could still end with 8, and I would still say this is not the season I was expecting.
No. It's been impressive, to say the least. Stacey Joe, I saw a few movies this weekend.
Yes.
One at home, one in the movie theater that I want to tell you about.
Okay.
And also, there's a TV show that I binge-watched last night.
Ooh.
That's only 3 episodes in.
Ooh.
All right, you want to hang around while I tell you about it?
I absolutely do.
All right, let's stick around. I'll share all that stuff with you next. You guys have been listening to Kyra Knights. Stacey Joe will come back with me. I am G. Scott. Welcome back into Cairo Knights. I am G. Scott. Happy Tuesday, y'all. My good buddy Stacey Joe is here, and we're not doing her theme song right now because we already talked Seahawks already, and we talked about it. If you guys missed that, you can always go to the podcast. That'll be up in about another hour. You can go to CairoRadio.com and go there and look for the podcast, Cairo Knights. You can do all those things. So, but right now, we are doing something different. And what we're doing is we are talking about some movies and TV shows that are going on, and this is kind of our recommendations. Matter of fact, we should do a once a week.
We should.
Recommendation, whether it's TV show or just recommendation.
You guys, TV is a passion for both of us.
Yes, it is. All right, here we go. We're going to give you guys 3 things.
Ooh.
I'm going to start off
with
one that both you and I just recently saw. It's a movie right now called Searching.
Phenomenal.
It almost is the best movie I've seen all year.
It
almost is the best movie. No, but yes.
Should we give a basic background?
Of Searching?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. This won't spoil it because this is how I was sold on it. It's, I think his name is John Cho, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. From Harold and Kumar. That's the only place I know him from. I know he's been in lots of other things and is very talented, but this is not a comedy. He plays a father of a young girl who she's a teenager and she goes missing. And he attempts to find her by kind of tracking her digital footprint. So looking up her Facebook friends, asking them questions, looking up, trying to look through like email, just see if there's a way to find her. And it's just... it's fascinating, but it's every twist and turn you could want from a movie that you also don't see coming. And I'm not going to ruin the twist, but knowing that there was a twist is what hooked me. And sometimes when you know that there's a twist, it happens and you're like, oh, what a letdown. This was not the case.
Not the case.
At all.
So that was phenomenal. So I'm letting you guys know, searching. Text your significant other, text your friends or whoever.
Yep.
Searching. Now, here is movie of the year for me.
Ooh.
Movie of the year, saw it in the theater.
Wow.
It's about a guy named Tony Lip. Tony Lip was a bouncer back in the day. This is actually drawn on a true story. Tony Lip was a bouncer, an Italian guy, grew up near the Bronx and everything, and trying to make it, hustler, all that kind of stuff. But his job was to take around a black musician.
I know what movie you're talking about.
And the black musician, his thing was, is that he wants to go down to the South and play.
And he's a pianist.
And he's a, right, right. And the Green Book stands for places that you can stay in when you're down in the South if you're a person of mm-hmm. color. So his job, Tony Lip, his job was to be security in the driver. So he drives him around. Now, granted, Tony Lip, really, you know, Italian, he don't really like black people like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At the end of the movie, I'm standing there. I'm sitting there with my sons. And
tear up? Whoo, did you tear up?
I didn't just tear up. It was boom, boom, boom. It was faucet.
Yeah.
It was a faucet. And by the way, I'm not ruining it by telling you why I cried. Because, no, it's not necessarily about being sad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You could cry for being happy and cry for being sad. It's not necessarily about being sad.
Yeah.
When I was crying, and then my kids was with me, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't let them see me, you know? So, I had to straighten up a little bit. Movie of the year. It is so damn good.
And it has, is his name Mahershala Ali?
They have Viggo Mortensen.
Yes.
And, yeah, Mahershala Ali.
Who's amazing. He's, I think he won an Oscar for Moonlight as Best Supporting Actor. But he also is going to be in the new season of True Detective. He's phenomenal. Like, he becomes whoever he's portraying.
He is a phenomenal actor. And I'm telling you, it was so good.
I've been dying to see this one.
Once
you started explaining it, I was like, I'm so glad you picked that because I had forgotten.
Green Book, y'all. Now, I know my movie reviews ain't as good as Tom Tagney's, but I'm just letting you know. The next one, the third
one. This is a show?
This is a show.
Okay.
Let me explain. So, on Bravo TV,
my favorite channel,
they've been advertising Dirty John's. So let me tell you what happened. Dirty John's, the other day, I'm like, oh, they've been advertising because, what's her name? Connie Britton.
Yes.
She's from 911.
Tammy Taylor, y'all.
Yeah, Tammy Taylor from Friday Night Lights.
Yep.
So I said, ooh, I like her. I'm going to watch the show. Started watching the show. I was kind of on my phone and I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Nah. Not really. Nah, I don't want to see it. Found out, like, hey, you heard about that Dirty Joe's? Oh, man, you might want to watch that. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Shot.
I started, and what they sold me on, it was about, like, hey, yeah, it's about she goes on an online date. And I'm like, oh, okay. That kind of sold me. So this time I put my phone away. I started to watch it. Oh, my goodness. It's three episodes in. Oh, by the way, true story.
Yeah, it's a true story.
True story.
I didn't know that because I knew that it was based on a podcast that became like viral sensation. And I had never listened to the podcast, but I thought that the podcast was scripted because the podcast came out around when it was kind of a new thing to like be like, okay, instead of two people talking, we're going to have a scripted thing with actors. So that's what I thought it was. That makes it 10 times more interesting to me, the fact that it's a true story.
Now, if we're bringing up these topics, you can rest assured, I don't want you guys texting me like, gee, you gave a bad recommendation. I'm telling you right now. Searching.
Yep.
Green
Book. You
will
like one of them.
And Dirty Joe's. Dirty John's, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Those three. And I'm telling a movie to go to the movie theaters to see. Green Book, it is phenomenal. Take your family, take your kids. It is well done. The acting was unbelievable in it.
And Searching is available to rent, by the way. I just rented it on Amazon.
Yeah,
you can watch that at home.
Yeah. Wait, when you do it on Amazon, is it free?
No, this one isn't streaming yet. It just came out on digital release.
Right. And it was, you know, I did it on Xfinity. It was $5.
Yeah. That's how much. Whatever. It's like $4 or $5.
I've noticed that my movie participation going to the movies, I've been going. I think the reserve seating is what's got me.
See, I haven't been. I went to the movies to see, what was the horror movie with John Krasinski and Emily Blunt?
I don't know.
Like The Quiet. I think it was A Quiet Place. It was really good, but that was the first time in maybe the last 4 years that I went to the movies. I didn't even know reserve seats were a thing. Like, this was all new to me. I couldn't believe everything that had changed.
Right.
But that does make me like it more.
All right. All right. Well, let's do this again tomorrow, Stacey Jo.
Definitely.
Tomorrow is going to be, I mean, the show tomorrow is going to be something. Yeah. I mean, I got you, of course, coming in.
The most important.
I got you coming in at 9:30. I got Seahawks legends. I'm going to have former Seattle Seahawk Leroy Hill on the show. That's going to happen. Amanda Knox is coming in.
I'm listening to that.
Amanda Knox is coming in at 8 to talk about her new podcast, her new true crimes podcast.
Good for her.
The truth about true crimes and talking about, so
I'm obsessed with true crime, and I will absolutely.
So am I, but I love the angle that she's taking.
Yeah, what's she doing?
Her angle is okay, the crime happened, right? Okay, all the truth about it is, and right now her deal is about the Jim Jones.
Is that the cult one?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
But she's also taking you back to give you some untold stories, talking about members who were there, part of the cult, and just giving more of an understanding about Jim Jones. No, Jim Jones did bad.
Yeah.
Just like Hitler did bad. But a lot of times, even when people have so many bad moments, we never find out, but were there some good things they did? And some people say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, I don't know.
You know what I like about that, too, is that for all the people that become part of cults, a lot of them, and this is why you highlight like the personable things about that person, a lot of them aren't like, a cult sounds fun. They genuinely like someone, or they don't realize, they think that they're part of a community, and that's what makes cults sometimes so powerful.
Right.
So that's why it's so interesting to examine that part of it. That sounds fascinating.
All right, Stacey Jo. It's time for me to get ready to jump in the hole, the carpool lane. Stacey Jo, we'll talk to you tomorrow. You guys are listening to Cairo Nights. I am G. Scott. Welcome back in to Cairo Nights. I am G. Scott. Happy Tuesday, y'all. Means the world that you guys listen to the show. Really appreciate that. The Online Trading Academy text line, it is 98973. Now it's time to jump in the hole. It is the carpool lane. And so I was wanted to talk to you guys about, because one of the things that, you know, like I said, during the carpool lane, it's a time where we all jump in and we ride together. During this time, it's kind of a point where we try to talk about positive things. But today, I wanted to talk about forgiveness. And the reason why I wanted to talk about forgiveness is because it's something that I'm not very good at. And I'm not good at, and I don't have a lot of the secret sauce on it. But I figured by just talking it out and maybe just even talking to you guys about it, maybe it's something that something will click inside of you. And during the holiday time, during the Christmas time, it's always kind of like of all the times in the year, all the birthdays and 4th of July and all the different holidays and big special days that happen through the year, I think we all count really Christmas. Like, Christmas time is really the time of year, right? It's the time of year where memories are impacted and are made during that time. And times where Christmas time, where people are no longer here anymore, and times that you're with your family and you're talking about those loved ones and you're talking about, remember this Christmas or remember that Christmas. And a lot of memories are talked about during the Christmas time. And during the holiday time is usually a time for forgiveness. And I was just thinking that, you know, I need to do A better job when it comes to forgiving those that have maybe, and I'm not perfect. You know, I've made my mistakes as well. And I'm not trying to say that I haven't done anything perfect, but especially forgiveness, especially during this month of December, there are some households and some get togethers that don't happen. They don't happen because some family member doesn't want to be around this family member, or this friend doesn't want to be around this friend, or this ex doesn't want to be around this ex family member. And it just gets all messed up, and sometimes the word forgiveness can bring so many more people together during this holiday season, because sometimes other people, right, like I have to be honest, other people are affected because of relationships of others. Does that kind of make sense? You might have a friend, right? You might have a friend who is your friend, and then you might want to go somewhere else for the holidays, but you know that that friend can't really go over there because they don't get along with that friend. So therefore, you're trying to tussle between two when you know it would be easier if you can have everybody at the same time. So that's why sometimes forgiveness is a big word during the month of December. I know there was a thing with the Oxford Dictionary last month. The word toxic, the number one used word or looked up word in 2018 was toxic. And I hope that that isn't the number one word. I mean, things like joy and forgiveness and those types of things, that's what should be number one for the month of December. So I guess what I wanted to say about it is I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect with that whole word forgiveness. I'm trying to get better at it. And I figured maybe I'd bring it up because maybe it would trigger something inside of maybe you listening right now. And maybe there's something or someone or a family member that you feel like that should be forgiven. Or maybe the topic of forgiveness should be coming up and it'd be something that will make this Christmas holiday a special time. It's been fun, guys. That's my time. I'm G. Scott. You've been listening to the Cairo Nights. I appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.